Travels in the Interior of Africa by Mungo Park. Narrated by Paul Edwards, sound by Patrick Martinez Buna. Introduction. Mungo Park was born on the 10th of September, 1771, the son of a farmer at Foul Shields near Selkirk. After studying medicine in Edinburgh, he went out at the age of 21, assistant surgeon in a ship bound for the East Indies. When he came back, the African Society was in want of an explorer to take the place of Major Houghton, who had died. Mungo Park volunteered, was accepted, and in his 24th year, on the 22nd of May, 1795, he sailed for the coasts of Senegal, where he arrived in June. Thence he proceeded on the travels of which this book is the record. He was absent from England for a little more than 2 years and a half, returned a few days before Christmas 1797. He was then 26 years old. The African Association published the first edition of his travels as Travels in the Interior Districts of Africa, 1795 to 1797 by Mungo Park, with an appendix containing geographical illustrations of Africa by Major Rennell. Park married and settled at Peebles in medical practice, but was persuaded by the government to go out again. He sailed from Portsmouth on the 30th of January 1805, resolved to trace the Niger to its source or perish in the attempt. He perished. The natives attacked him while passing through a narrow strait of the River of Busa and killed him, with all that remained of his party except one slave. The record of this fatal voyage, partly gathered from his journals and closed by evidences of the manner of his death, was first published in 1815 as The Journal of a Mission to the Interior of Africa in 1805 by Mungo Park, together with other documents, official and private, relating to the same mission, to which is prefixed an account of the life of Mr. Park. Chapter 1. Journey from Portsmouth to the Gambia. Soon after my return from the East Indies in 1793, having learned that the noblemen and gentlemen associated for the purpose of prosecuting discoveries in the interior of Africa were desirous of engaging a person to explore that continent by the way of the Gambia River, I took occasion, through means of the President of the Royal Society, to whom I had the honour to be known, of offering myself for that service. I had been informed that a gentleman of the name of Houghton, a captain in the army and formerly fort major at Goree, had already sailed to the Gambia, under the direction of the association, and that there was reason to apprehend he had fallen a sacrifice to the climate, or perished in some contest with the natives. But this intelligence, instead of deterring me from my purpose, animated me to persist in the offer of my services with the greater solicitude. I had a passionate desire to examine into the productions of a country so little known, and to become experimentally acquainted with the modes of life and character of the natives. I knew that I was able to bear fatigue, and I relied on my youth and the strength of my constitution to preserve me from the effects of the climate. The salary which the committee allowed was sufficiently large, and I made no stipulation for future reward. If I should perish in my journey, I was willing that my hopes and expectations should perish with me. And if I should succeed in rendering the geography of Africa more familiar to my countrymen, and in opening to their ambition and industry new sources of wealth and new channels of commerce, I knew that I was in the hands of men of honour, who would not fail to bestow that remuneration which my successful services should appear to them to merit. The committee of the association, having made such inquiries as they thought necessary, declared themselves satisfied with the qualifications that I possessed, and accepted me for the service. And with that liberality which on all occasions distinguishes their conduct, gave me every encouragement which it was in their power to grant, or which I could with